Welcome to the Strength Talk and Shop podcast. I'm your host, Matt Smith. On the Strength Talk and Shop podcast, we talk all things strength, coaching, nutrition, fitness, and conditioning. Very excited for you to listen to this episode, so sit back, relax, and enjoy. We are presented by Optimum Nutrition Athletics. We all know that protein is the key to muscle recovery, and gold standard, best-selling 100% whey protein provides 24 grams of protein that mixes easily using just a glass and spoon. Gold standard 100% whey is made in their state-of-the-art facility. It's banned substance tested by Informed Choice. And then with Optimum Nutrition Athletics program, you can get different items such as their Pro Gainer, which is their mass gainer, protein snacks such as their crisp bars, wafers, cake bites, and almonds. And after dominating the sports nutrition industry for over 30 years, newly created Optimum Nutrition Athletics brings that same trust and quality that knows how to put convenient options for protein in the hands of athletes who desire to become bigger, stronger, and better at their sport. Down in the show notes, we have the email here for Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics. Make sure you reach out to Dave Harvey about getting this into your facility for your athletes. I use their products, absolutely wonderful. Love the 100% gold standard whey. Use it for every post-workout recovery. Love their caseins, love the protein snacks. I recently just had the almonds, absolutely wonderful. Quick, easy, on-the-go snacks for your athletes. So make sure you reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics on how you can get that into your facility. Our guest this week is Roy Gallagher. He's the head strength and conditioning coach at FDU Florham. So this is an awesome episode where we talk a lot about his lessons learned of being a director, building that culture. He works at a Division III school, so how he's building that culture, being the head man, and then also, you know, starting an athlete from the ground up. This is a great episode. I'm so excited to have Coach Gallagher here on the episode. Excited for the future guests that are coming on there. So make sure you guys follow our guest. Make sure you reach out to them. Reach out to all of our past guests too as well. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, give it the 5 stars and the Apple review. Wherever you listen to that, share it with your friends, share it with your family members, share it on social media. I'll share it out. Appreciate everybody. Again, this is Roy Gallagher of FDU Florham. And everybody, stay strong. What's up, guys? Strength Talking Shop podcast. Excited to have the man, Roy Gallagher, head strength and conditioning coach, FDU Florham. What's going on, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you? I really appreciate you having me on here today.
Oh, man, I'm doing awesome. Excited to be able to sit back and listen and learn from you, man. I know you're a listener of the podcast. You know, I had a good friend of yours on, Coach Mott, before. Yep. So I was had you on the list. And I'm excited to get you on here, man. So how have things been now since going from, was it grad assistant now to the head man?
Yeah. Definitely interesting. Big, big shock overall. But, you know, I'm obviously excited and ready to go for this position. I was officially hired in January. But I stayed on last fall as the GA with really no head. So I kind of was in charge of everything and just trying to stay as humble as possible throughout that process, where I was coordinating with coaches, setting up lift times, and obviously all during COVID. So we had to rearrange the weight room, make rules for the weight room that were, you know, aligned with COVID and NJ state laws. So that was like the hectic part, but what benefited me was our whole staff and our athletic directors got to see all that front, like right at the beginning. So I had like a good time where I was just, yeah, I can interview really well, but now they could see what I was doing. And that was my laser focus in the fall. I was like, I'm gunning for this job because Coach AJ Mott moved on to Western Colorado University. So I was like, this is an opportunity that I can't slip through my hands. So it was like pedal to the metal. I'm gonna do everything I can to make sure that I'm the top candidate for this job, regardless of, you know, me being the GA. I need to show them that I can handle the role of being ahead. So that was, that's what I did in the fall. Luckily, I got the position and then I started in January, in the heat of COVID. So, you know, I did the best I could with during that. And, you know, I think I'm really excited for next year with now that everything's gonna be lifted, the vaccine's being rolled out. So I'm really excited for the future as well.
What has it been like now taking on that ownership where, you know, you're owning everything, like it's your name stamped over it. The decisions are done by you. What has that kind of been like with this transition?
So, you know, it's interesting that you say that because I didn't really think that through because they asked me a similar question on the interview. It was like, so what's going to be the hardest thing for you, you know, going from assistant to head? And my answer was, it's going to be, you know, the buck stops with me. You know, anything right. that happens is going to be a result of me. You know, even if I had an assistant or an intern, anything they do is reflected on me as well. So, you know, that was a huge reality check for me is like, okay, everything you do is going to have a ripple effect. You know, I hear Todd Hammer say, he's like, yeah, we're a drop in a big bucket. I like to add to that and say, but we can have a very large ripple effect. You know, especially when I'm also in charge of the weight room for a student body, that decision and what I say for the, you know, the COVID protocols is a lot because it's like, how many kids can we get in here? How do we set up the weight room so that's socially distant? We have to make sure everyone's wearing face coverings. You know, they have to sign in through an app. And I'm very thankful that our two building managers, Katie Thistle and Steve McCrossin, if they're listening to this, I love you guys. You guys, I could not have done this without the two of you. I mean, they were huge in everything that they did. I would not have had the success this past semester if it was not for the two of them. But anyways, we all worked together to make this happen. We had to move, you know, cardio equipment to our racquetball courts, and that became our new cardio room. So this way everything's spread out. We only gave like an hour of time frame. We only could limit each team to 2 training sessions per week. It was the only way we could fit every team in season, off season, because we also had to break it down so that the student body does not train with the student athletes. So there's contact tracing. So there was a lot of that and the logistical side of things that I had to take ownership of. So it was almost like, well, this time doesn't work for me. I had to like eat that and be like, all right, well, how can I make this work elsewhere? So that was like the biggest reality check is everything that I say, it can either be really good or could bite me in the butt. So that was the biggest part of it all. It was like realizing that, hey, you got to make a decision and, you know, stick with it and make sure your heart's in the right place with your decision that you're making and make sure it benefits everybody in a positive way. So that was what I tried to do this past semester.
Well, and I think you kind of nailed it on the head there too, as well as like making a decision confidently. Like we all know if you make a decision kind of half-heartedly, like the results are probably going to turn out that way. When you can do things confidently, good things are going to come, whether that's good or bad. You're going to learn something, obviously, in the end. Right. Do you think being able to have that confidence to be, making those decisions comes from how you prepared up to this moment? So essentially all the years prior, everything that you had done, the work that you had done as a grad assistant, did that kind of prepare you to be able to have that decision-making skills and stuff like that?
So definitely, I think it did, especially being here for the year prior. Right. You know, I was able to see the layout of the weight room. I know what worked with each team. I know the dynamic of each team and each coach. We're fortunate here that we're all very close with the athletic trainers, the coaching staff, you know, our support staff. So it's easy to talk and make those decisions with everybody. So that definitely was a huge help moving forward in this semester. And I think if the roles were reversed, if I like say it was at a different university, I wasn't there, it would have been a lot harder. And I'm sure there's some coaches who did have to go through that. I'm sure that was a difficult one to, you know, have to make that transition, but I'm extremely fortunate here that I was here for a year. I know the coaching staff. The coaching staff supported me and what I was doing here. And we just wanted to make sure that we got through this year with success. And that was like everybody's main goal across the board. Let's get through this year. Let's try to give the best opportunity we can with the limits we have. And then once this is all done, let's make sure that we could just go back to normal and not have to deal with this anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I like that you said that too as well. It's like the constant communication and the support for one another, right? So being able to have that dialect and that open communication with the sport coaches, with the administration, with, you know, the building managers and stuff like that, because last year was unlike any year that has ever happened before with anybody. Right. So to kind of piggyback off of that, what's it kind of been like, you know, building a, you know, the culture, you know, you've been there before, but like kind of building the culture with you being a head person at a Division III school, because as we know, Division III schools are very, very, rigorous in their academics as well. And you only get so much time in the weight room and stuff like that. Can you kind of dive into that a little bit?
Yeah. So our whole thing with our three athletic directors, they're very big on the Division III model, which is, you know, student first, athlete second, which I would even argue should be across the board in terms of all divisions. Cause you know, let's be honest here. How many people are actually going to become pro athletes? Very, very slim. So we want to make sure that we're preparing them for the next level in their life, you know, the next stage of their life. So, you know, that's going to be the biggest thing is obviously they're student first. So, you know, if a kid has class, let's say we have lift 9 to 10, but if a kid has class at 10, he can leave at 9, or he or she can leave at 9:45. I'm totally okay with that. You know, so what, they don't do, you know, a set of side raises or something like that. You know, as long as we get the remaining stuff in, you know, we hit like our main lifts, I'm okay with that, especially if it's, you know, if they have class. So, you know, I want to make sure that we don't add any more stress than needed, especially during this year. Yeah. We like, especially this year, we have kids commuting 45 minutes to practice. And then, you know, they might have lift time 2 hours later. So they can't, and like some buildings are closed that they can't use. So it's like, what can we do? What can I do here that is going to be the least stressful and then impact them so that they're still going to perform well on the field and just enjoy their time here? And that was another thing that I really think about was, obviously I get paid to help increase their performance, right? But as I just said, we want to make sure that we're getting them ready for the next level of their life too. So I want them to enjoy their time here, you know, and it's not about the sets and reps. It's about making sure that they become good people and that they can overcome different adversities later on in life. I mean, I'm sure we've heard, you know, Dave Tate say it before, was like, I learned everything just from being under the bar. You know, I really like that. You know, some of the kids may not understand that, but I hope at some point they reflect back and be like, they see the fun that we had in here. And they also saw the seriousness in terms of like, we're maxing out, we're doing our sprint tests, whatever the case may be, you know, that they overcame something that they didn't even know they could do, you know, especially when you have like female athletes where they see like a barbell, they get absolutely petrified of it. But as soon as they grab it, they do an RDL, or they do a front squat or whatever the case may be, all of a sudden that fear goes away and it doesn't even matter because now it's like, oh, this is light work. I've done this before. So that's like the biggest thing that I try to do is the weight room is a place of personal growth more than really anything else. You know, so that's kind of my philosophy right now is making sure that they get better at their sport, they become better people and they enjoy their time here. And then I don't add any negative stress to what they're doing. I want the weight room to be a place of a positive energy, a good atmosphere, because they don't want to, most of them don't want to lift anyway. They want to play their sport and they want to go hang out with their friends. But you know, when they're here, let's make it as positive as possible. At the same time, get all the work we need to do so that they're healthy for their sport.
I love that you talked about the stress factor of everything. That's especially in the college age, like that is such a massive thing because you're dealing with finals, you're dealing with midterms, and then just the class load in itself. So why would you create an environment where they come in, they're lethargic, and they're like, all I know is Coach Gallagher's going to come in there and scream at me the whole entire time, and I'm going to absolutely hate it. That's not a good culture. Like, that's where you're going to get people that are going to get hurt. They're going to – I mean, that's the big thing I would probably see is, like, people would probably just get a lot more hurt, or they might not show up because I'm sure some of the stuff is voluntary. Like, they just wouldn't show up and everything like that. So – you talked about that big time. I think that's something that people need to understand is the stressors and how that causes over the long term of things, because let's say they are stressed out all the time. They don't enjoy their time in the weight room. They're not going to end up lifting. And then when they get out of school, right? So then they may be an unhealthy person. They, because of that one little experience, we all have experiences like that, you know?
I think one of the things that I don't want them to resent the weight room either. Right. So, yeah. You know, I'm very fortunate here that all the coaches have bought into strength conditioning, you know, with Coach Mott in the past too. So the kids get it. We lift off season, we lift in season. I'm having voluntary summer workouts right now, which have been going really, really well. I'm kind of surprised at how well they're going, how many kids we are getting, especially because everyone's commuting. So I'm really happy with that. But, if we have an in season lift or whatever case may be, a coach can mandate that. So, you know, I don't want them to hate what we're doing here because I'm yelling and screaming. So now they miss lift and now they can't practice. And if they don't practice, they can't play. Well, now that's just a chaotic effect throughout the entire team. And like I said, we might be a small drop, but we have ripple effects. Yeah. And if we have that ripple effect that's negative, well, Well, because what? Because I wanted to be a hardo and yell at you for not squatting or whatever the case may be. No, it's like we can always find something that is that they can do. But, you know, you want them to challenge themselves and overcome those challenges. So that's the way I look at it is we have that ripple effect. Yes, we are a small drop, and I can't prove that the trap bar deadlift is going to make sure that this kid's going to be the all-time athlete at Fairleigh Dickinson Forum. But I do know that there is a decreased risk of injury. I do know that we can have a lot, we can get better in terms of whatever power production, strength, whatever it may be. So let's hammer away at that. Let's enjoy their time here so that this way it carries over to the field. They enjoy the field too. And, you know, there's some positive effects to what we do as well. So if I have better communication with the coach and now they understand what I'm saying, and then we see eye to eye on things. Well, now we just brought the whole culture together. So again, we have that small drop. We have that ripple effect. So it can go two ways where there could be a complete positive and there could also be a complete negative. So that's kind of where my head is at in terms of when we deal with our team trainings.
Do you find that by allowing, you know, showing the athlete, like you gave the example of the trap bar and stuff like that, right? It gives them a better understanding of the why that they're doing things, which then in turn makes your, you know, makes it a lot easier for you because they're kind of bought into the program. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. I try to keep that as simple as possible with explaining to them why we're doing certain things. But like one of the big things right now is conditioning. So a lot of our summer volunteer lifts are primarily fall sports, you know, and myself and their sport coaches, you know, whether we had a Zoom before the semester was over, it's kind of like told them like, hey, this is your preseason. You haven't played since 2019. You know, I mean, they really, because our fall was canceled. Our conference canceled the entire fall. So you haven't played since 2019, you know, and you haven't really, some people haven't even been here since March 2020. So I'm having kids that never touched a dumbbell. I saw people for the first time in like 16 months, you know? So exactly. So it's kind of like, I told them like, this is our preseason. Now I'm trying to like really explain to them as simple as possible, you know, different conditioning modalities and why we're doing certain ones. Cause every kid thinks if I'm not gassed by the end of conditioning, then I'm not doing it right. I was like, Well, we got to think about what energy system we want to work. So, you know, we're doing right now, we just finished our second week of tempo runs, which I took right from kind of took the model off of, you know, the rugby strength coach site. I really, it's super easy to understand. So I took that. We just finished our second week and they're like, I like these, but I don't feel tired enough. I'm like, that's not what we're trying to go for here. You know what I mean? So, you know, I explained to them why we're trying to build the motor and what the aerobic system does. We're trying to have that circulatory effect. You know, it's more for recovery in between, you know, we did a lower body day before. So things like that. And just trying to make it as simple as possible so that, okay, got it. And they're like, well, what about the run test? I'm like, don't worry about the run test. You do this stuff, you're going to be okay. You know? So, yeah. You know, that's that trying to find that connection with them. So that's like, hey, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that you're set, ready to go. And I've had the conversation with your coaches too. Like, we only want you guys to succeed. So that's kind of like the, explaining that factor has been the big one as of right now is, you know, getting ready for the fall.
I love that. Because you give that example, like they're not gassed and want to feel tired and stuff like that. It's almost like sometimes athletes and, you know, both you and I lift, sometimes athletes love to do the test before the test and they like to cram it beforehand. And then, boom, next thing you know, they're overtrained and then everything all goes downhill from there. You know what I mean? So I love that you talked about that. And I mean, how important is that where you understand the why behind everything? Like there should be always a why. I'm sure with everything within your program, you know, when you're looking at your exercise selections and stuff like that and what we're working at, there's a why behind it and there's a purpose behind it. You know, have you kind of found that too as well, is to be helpful with the athletes?
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of going back to that example we set, like, I'm going to be completely honest. I love the barbell, you know, but I understand the need for speed, especially with field-based sports. You're not going to see me sprinting. I'm going to be truthfully with you. You're not going to see me sprinting. However, I know how important that is for their sport. And I know our kids need to be faster. I mean, we have our conference in certain sports is extremely competitive, like women's soccer. On our side of the conference alone has four top 25 teams.
Oh.
So it's kind of like, oh yeah, we gotta deal with those people on a regular basis. So, you know, when it comes to like, when I tell them sprint, I'm like, they're like, why is this rest interval so long? I'm like, well, here, well, like, think of a sprint as a max effort lift, right? If you're going to max out on a squat, I'm not going to have you do 30 seconds rest and tell you to get back under the bar and do another set. It's the same thing. It has to what we know about the central nervous system. We theorize that it's going to be the same effect and the same tax on that central nervous system. Yep. So, you know, it seems like we're just kind of like bored, you know, maybe we'll do some planks or something like that, or bear crawl holds in between sets. Or so like, you know, it feels like they're doing something, but that's like the biggest thing is like, if we need to get fast, we need to run fast. So I need you guys to do all out for these 20 yards and we're resting for 2 minutes and we just stand there and like, we'll talk and like, I'll try to like go over why we're doing like this, especially if it's like, again, because it's voluntary, I might see one kid 1 week and not see him for another two. So, you know, stuff like that.
Well, you just made me think of something too. I had this conversation with the coach that deals with baseball, and right. You know, you're seeing in Major League Baseball right now, guys are velocity's crazy, 100 miles an hour every single pitch. But if you've noticed in a baseball game, it's very slow pace with those guys because they are doing a full out max effort pitch every single time. And when I saw that on the baseball field, I thought of exactly what you talked about, max effort work with like sprinting or in the weight room and stuff like that. Like you have to have that break in between. Otherwise you're just doing work to do work kind of thing. And then at the end of the day, you're not getting the result that you're looking for, right? We're looking to get faster, not just to stand around and do stuff. To go back real quick into what you just talked about, where you would couple those exercises together, maybe. I always was a big fan of doing supersets with the kids.
Yeah.
Just to kind of keep them working. Have you done anything kind of like that too, as well? Just to kind of, you know, work that in there as well.
100%. Well, everything is to an hour, so we have no choice, right?
Yeah. Okay.
You can go with, you know, the data may say, hey, you do a med ball throw, wait 3 minutes. Well, I don't have that time. You know what I mean? So, you know, I try to pair, like if we have a main movement, let's say if it's trap bar deadlift or a front squat, safety bar split squat, you know, depending on the time of the year, I may pair with something. If we're in season, depending on, maybe I'll do some contrast stuff. Off season, I try to make sure that's the main focus. So front squat, it's kind of like go at your own pace type deal, but we shouldn't be, you know, standing around talking. I want it to, you know, keep going. But yeah, like all of our accessories are always paired. Any builders we pair together. So we'll have our main lift. Maybe we'll have our power in the beginning, and then our main lift might be the B1 that might not have anything. And like our C's, let's say we're doing upper body day or something like that, I might do pair chest supported row with, I don't know, like a plate pushup or something like that, right? You know, just again, get the timing and everything like that. And we always have our smaller accessories are always paired up, whether it be, you know, some shoulder accessory with a suitcase carry, you know, anything like that. And then obviously, you know, some people, I give them the option, you know, pick your buys and tries type deal. Cause you know, you gotta dangle some candy so that they actually do the rest of the stuff. Exactly. But yeah, I'm always trying to pair something again for the sake of time. But yeah, we don't really, that's pretty much the main thing, is the sake of time to get them in, get them out. And again, especially if a kid has class or something like that, I need to get them out. Cause again, they're students first. You know, I'm not at a professional level where, you know, I can rest for all this time. And, you know, there's so many other factors I have to be aware of. And then, you know, there's another team coming in. Again, if I don't have an assistant, then I got to figure, okay, then I got to make sure the captain knows the warm up if I'm trying to finish up with this team. So there's a lot of moving parts, but typically I try to pair as much as I can in terms of like the accessories so that we can get everything in.
One thing that I love that you just talked about is you got to kind of know that the flow of the weight room and everything like that. You can have the greatest program written down, but if it doesn't flow in the weight room and kids are bumping into each other, and then you got this group coming in and I need to warm them up, but they're all the way over here. It's like, that should be probably like one of the first things that you look at with your program is how is this going to flow inside of the weight room? Being at a Division III school too, I'm sure that is like a huge thing, and being able to find all those little aspects as far as like what you're building.
Yeah. So our weight room is shared with our student body as well. So that makes it a little bit more fun as well. So we can have, you know, if I have them doing, I don't know, goblet squat or something, or dumbbell bench press in the front room, we might have, you know, faculty, staff, regular student body using the dumbbells that they were programmed to use. So then I was like, kind of, what do you do there? So, well, like, you're going to go up 5 pounds, you're going to go down 5 pounds today. You know, it's that type of deal. And, you know, we our weight room is outfitted by Elite FTS. So we have, you know, if we're doing barbell bench press, you know, and if we have a big team like football, we probably can't do pull-ups supersetted in the racks because it's just not going to be, it just can't, it's not feasible at the moment. You know, if we have a smaller team such as basketball, we could probably get away with it. But again, it really depends on, you have to know that sport and how many kids are coming in as well. So I try to always plan around the weight room. Me personally, I like it when we're all in our back, the back room, and the music's blasting, the kids are running back and forth, and there's a lot of energy. So I try to keep it like that so that it's still feasible, but, you know, it's not cluttered. So it's still like everybody's, you know, because everybody likes that more, especially our male teams. They love it when they're all in the back room, whether they're benching and doing some Olympic variation, they're deadlifting. They all like it when they're all around each other, you know, screaming at each other, motivating each other. So I try to keep that factor in there. And then, but if we need some space, whether especially at the end of the lift where they're doing, like I said, their accessories, they can go in the front room, spread out, you know, but especially in that, the heat of, or the main part of, you know, the lift, I want everybody to kind of be together so that there's that energy, that camaraderie, and that that facet to it as well.
I really like that, man. I love that a lot, that camaraderie that you talked about here. To kind of go off of that too as well. So, you know, you're building an athlete, right? You're getting these kids for 4 years, so you're getting them as a freshman. What does it look like when you have them come in? So freshman straight up. Up to like their senior year, how are you developing the athlete? What do you look at, and what have you found to be successful when doing that?
Well, I'll dive into what I'm planned right now in terms of our freshmen coming in. Yeah. I can't really give you a 4-year program because I haven't been here that long. I would feel kind of silly saying that, but I just put together our first year foundational program that I sent out for all our freshmen. Our first years. What I did is I really liked Zach DeChant's model. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong, from TCU, where he, his foundational program, where it's, his philosophy is like, well, we'll do sets of 5, but I'll do 8 sets as opposed to 5 sets of 8. So, you know, the structure of our lifts is all about making sure the quality of the reps are there before there's any technical breakdown. So now they're getting more and more quality reps over time. So you could either, I could program 8x4 or 4x8, but the 8x4 might be a lot better than the 4x8. So I really liked that idea to it. And what I did with our first year program was for the first 4 weeks, they have 2 lifts. One's an upper body day, one's a lower body day, and they're the exact same. So they're doing it 4 days and they're exactly the same. So now I'm getting double the volume at each exercise, so that, you know, that's what, 16 training sessions of lower body, 16 training sessions of upper body. So now we're doing how many goblet squats, how many hinges, how many pulls, whatever the case may be. So I really, really like that approach. I'm only 2 weeks in, so I'll let you know how it goes. but you know, the thing is, you, with that though, is I try to explain to our, incoming first years that this is why we're doing this, because, you know, some people might have the modality where you have to change every week something, or you have to do this. And it's like, no, really, we just change the volume a little bit, the intensity. Maybe we'll add a progression, but I try to go in 4-week phases so that we're hammering away at that exercise. 4 weeks, we're extensifizing before intensifizing. So there's a lot of different variables that go into that, but I try to keep things as super simple as possible. So right out the gate, we do lower body day, we're goblet squatting. We're doing a single leg movement, right? Started with just a split squat, a goblet split squat. We're hinging with a barbell. So we're doing barbell RDL. We're doing some type of leg curl as well. So that they're, because especially with our freshmen, you know, they don't know where their hamstrings are. So I like adding leg curl in right away and some glute bridge, so that it's like, oh, we have these things, so that when they pair that with the RDL, it looks a little bit better. And I've noticed that. I've done that years in the past when I was in the private sector, when you have, you know, kids just randomly coming in at God knows what time, just at random, you kind of have to You might want to teach them a hinge, but if they can't, if their back's arching and they have no hamstrings, how can I fire the hamstrings now so that later, 2-3 weeks, I can get the hinge down a little bit better? So that's my approach in that. And then in terms of upper body, we're doing a neutral grip bench press. You know, I'm a big believer as your triceps can never be too strong as someone with extremely weak triceps. single arm overhead press with a dumbbell, a bent over row. I'll start with a chest supported row, and the next phase is going to be a bent over barbell row. So this way, you know, like I said, I'm still trying to make sure that they can hold the hinge pattern. So we'll go for chest supported row. So we get that upper back in there. If they can do pull-ups or chin-ups, great. I'll have them do that, but they have the option between that or the lat pull down, some shoulder accessory, some upper back accessory stuff. And I start with a lot of isometrics too, in terms of I'll pair a lower body stuff with like, for example, I think in this phase right now, the first 2 weeks, they're pairing our RDL with like a Copenhagen plank. And it's because I know that these kids, you know, the high school level, they're not used to the volume that they're going to experience here. So I want to make sure that their hamstrings are healthy, their groins are healthy. So stuff like that too. I like the isometric work because of just the research that supported it. And at that young age, if I can hammer away a ton of isometrics now, I hopefully don't have to worry about it later on or that nagging injury later on. I stole something from, I believe his name is Graham Morris. He's a rugby guy. I believe now he's in Sydney, Australia. He calls them robust circuits as his warm up, quote unquote, mm-hmm. which I really, really like, where you target small muscle groups that typically you would see get injured or like small tweaks. So some with the groin, the ankle and the foot, upper back, some neck, where else? Glutes. So you kind of, and I'll like go through different cycles with that. And obviously some sports are going to have a little bit different exercise than others. Like, I think so if we're squatting one day, we might do a med ball squeeze with external rotation of the hips. We're external rotating, but we're actually hitting the glute medius. So they can stay a little bit deeper in their squats. Anytime we're bench pressing or overhead pressing, I make sure that we hammer away at those, mid traps, whether it's a Y raise prone on the bench or a band pull apart or a band pull down, pull apart. So just trying to hit those areas, before they even get to the actual lift. And I've done that for the past semester. I think it's going really well rather than your traditional, mobility warm up, quote unquote, just to see how it would work. Because again, if we have some kids who I haven't seen in over a year and some of them I probably won't see until August, which is going to be 18 months at that point. So I want to make sure that there's some resiliency in those areas before they even, you know, get to the field. And so that we're trying to sneak more volume in where we wouldn't see it elsewhere too.
I like that a lot, man. Especially you talked about like the external rotation there. That's huge. Being able to teach that with the athletes, because most people, they don't really know how to do that kind of thing. I love that. And then, like you said, sneaking in the volume a little bit. I think if people look at their warm-up, they might be able to sneak those in there a little bit, kind of what you're doing, man. I think that's brilliant. I'm interested. The big thing that you said there that is huge is, let's say you had the 4x8, right? Well, I'd assume probably reps 1, 2, 3, 4 would probably look okay, but then 5, 6, 7, 8 are going to be crap. So really they did like 50% of the reps that we really wanted them to do. So why not? That makes total sense to me on why you would cut that down to do the 8x4. And have you seen that now too, is where hopefully they will progress to where now they have good movement patterns that have been ingrained in them over time versus like 50% of the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, well, I'll let you know. We're, like I said, we're in week two.
Yeah. I want to see that.
But we have some kids, when I remember the first day, we're trying to teach them how to hinge. Especially if you have an athlete who's never done something like this before. And like, especially if you're not like a heavy field-based sport. I mean, you could see on some athletes who are going to be fast by looking at their hamstrings. If they have that belly of the hamstring, you're like, okay, this person, they're going to be good. You know, go through with them anyway. Okay, solid. We're good. But then you have some athletes that there's a board and you're like, okay, well, I might have to start with a wall reach and then try to transition that over into the RDL. I think it's going to go really, really well. And again, it's just more ways to get more quality volume in, I should say. Right. You know, everybody thinks, hey, 4x10, 3x10, whatever the case may be, because you want to get that pump, this, that, the other thing. But again, it's kind of like breaking it down to explain them. It's like, we'll get there. You know, trust, especially if we're off season, we'll get there in certain exercises. But right now, I got to make sure that our quality is nice, is going to be really, really high, so that when we get to that area where we can build up that volume, you have the tissue tolerance, you have the neuromuscular ability to do that. So that's my reasoning behind it. Again, that's what Zach put in his book, I believe, and I stole it directly from him. I'm not going to take credit for that.
Well, it's something I personally found myself. I remember I was training a few months ago. I was doing GHRs, and I was doing like, I don't know, maybe 3x10, 4x10, and I watched the video back because I record myself, and I'm like, man, those last three reps were like really crappy, right? And so I just literally cut it down to where it was, I believe it was like 10 sets of five. And I got all my 50 reps in with less reps. And guess what? It looked perfect every single time. I was recovered in between. And it's just a small little tweak to where you can prepare yourself and you're, you know, you're getting that good motor pattern. But I love that, man. That is huge. I think a lot of coaches could steal that. As we wind down here, a couple last questions here. What's helped you as a coach and a person?
Oh, man. Definitely learning from other people. Like that's going to be these are the biggest thing. And this past year, especially, it has been really eye-opening that, you know, you need help as a coach. You know, there's no harm in asking for help. And it's like, if anything, me being by myself this past semester has really taught me that, like, reach out to other people, ask people who may not even know the job description if they could help you with something, because that can help you get something else done. And like I alluded to before, I couldn't have done anything that I was able to do this past semester if it wasn't for our building managers and some of our sport coaches as well, because they had to temp check our kids, they had to record the data, make sure that we had an app they had to fill out. And if I'm bouncing around team after team after team, you know, they were able to do that for me. So, you know, that was the biggest thing, is like, you need help, you need people. You know, I think it's Joe Ken who says you win with people, correct?
I think so, yeah.
And so I think it's him. Like that's, it couldn't be, right. Yeah. I hope it is at this point. but like, you know, that was the biggest thing, was like, you know, you win with people. And I was able to have a successful semester in the weight room during a pandemic because of everybody else. So, and like, obviously my mentors, Coach Fisk from, and Coach Cole from NJIT, AJ Mott. And obviously people who've like, you've had on the podcast. You got Todd Hammer. We talked about Zach Evanesh before, Dave Tate, obviously Casey Williams. He's now coaching me for the past year. I've learned a ton from him. Probably doesn't even realize how much he's taught me. And obviously Kurt Miller, since he brought him on. Like, I can't thank those people enough. And if they actually understood how grateful I am for what they've done, it's incredible. Like, I could not be where I am without all of those people.
Standing on the shoulders of giants, man. That's what it is.
Yeah, literal giants.
literal giants, especially literal if you're talking giants. Especially if you're talking about like Casey and Kurt. Right. Jeez Louise, man. Well, you know, last question, you know, what are you grateful for, man? What's Rory grateful for?
I'm grateful that I can come in here every day and like do what I actually enjoy. I was not a great athlete. I'll be the first one to admit that. But you know, I fell in love with the weight room back in the day. I was a very, very scrawny, skinny kid who was extremely weak. So this is all I kind of like, this made me happy, and I'm happy that I can help other people. But with this, I'm grateful for my parents. I would not be able to be here without my parents. I saw them yesterday. I try to see them once a week. Obviously my friends, my mentors, and obviously the staff we have here, the staff we have here believes in me and trusts me, which is huge. You know, it's cool. But at the same time, it's a lot of responsibility. And it's like, when people have that trust in you, you have to live up to it. So I hope I'm doing that for them. And, you know, I hope that I can continue to, you know, build this program and make it even better. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I'm grateful for.
Oh, man, I think it's going to be great things coming. I'm excited to see what the future holds, man. You're doing wonderful things. You can hear it in your voice, man. You can see it as well in your eyes, like the passion that you have, and that there's only going to be nothing but positives that come out of this, man. And that's awesome that you talked about the service to others. You know, as a coach, you're at service to helping others, man. That's huge. And how can people reach out to you? Social media, how can they find you and stuff like that?
So anybody, if anybody wants to like come in and talk shop, my email is rgallagher@fdu.edu. Instagram, Roar, RORGALLAGHR, Gallagher on Instagram. I don't have a Twitter or a Facebook. Pretty much just Instagram or email is the best way to contact me. I also in charge of our FDU strength page. Haven't been really as into it as of late, because obviously with certain NCAA rules, we can't post volunteer lifts, which I wish we could, because it's going to be great for recruiting and see what we're doing. But, you know, I have some of those videos that are really cool, that are kind of like just going to save in the back pocket for progressions and things like that, and show the athletes how far they've come. But yeah, those would be the two ways, email or Instagram.
Coach Gallagher, I can't thank you enough for being here on the podcast this week. I learned a ton, got a whole notepad full of stuff, and just grateful to have you on the podcast, man.
Hey man, I really appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Well, everybody, make sure you reach out to him. Make sure you follow him on Instagram and reach out to him through his email. And everybody, stay strong.